Hi. So the topic of my project were collisions. So let's first describe what is a relativistic heavy ion collider. So this rig is placed in New York City, and it collides two beams of heavy gold ions, tip of the electrons. The center of mass energy per nucleon is of order of 100 gigaelectron volts, which is like now one of the highest energy ever achieved. I think that LHC experiment is going to get higher energies, but still, particles in this collider achieve as much as 99.995 speed of light. So, what is the aim of such collisions? The aim of such collision is like to create highest possible energy density in between colliding particles and to reproduce conditions that were that could be spotted just after the Big Bang. If high enough energy density is achieved, quark-gluon plasma can be created. What is quark-gluon plasma? So let's firstly look what matter can we see nowadays in our universe. We see mainly hadronic matter, which means that we have quarks and gluons confined in a proton. So even though each of these quarks has a color and fractional electrical charge, we practically observe neutral color matter and charges, electrical charges that can be like a third integer. Here's a picture of a hadron with three different color quarks and gluons confining them. If energy density is high enough, we want to create a quark-gluon plasma, which means that the quarks and gluons are no longer confined in hadrons and they can move freely. What is the theory governing quarks and gluons is known, but the fact is that it is not non-perturbative, and in fact that's why the solutions to this theory cannot surprise us. Like, for example, the fact that quark and gluon fields that described in QCD Lagrangian lead to like color neutral matter we observe nowadays. Here is this equation accounts for the reason that why we can never observe an isolated quark. Here is like the potential which takes to separate a quark from antiquark. You can see that as we pulling them apart, then the energy required goes to infinity. In fact, at some point, a new quark-antiquark pair will be created. The fact that QCD is non-perturbative makes the fact that experiments are carried out for two reasons. Firstly, to test the QCD backgrounds for the theory, to test if they are right and they really apply. And secondly, to look into the experiments for suggestions how the solutions for QCD may look like. One hope for solution is a so-called asymptotic freedom, which means that even though quarks and gluons in normal condition are coupled very strongly, which means that they are non-perturbative, it is predicted that for high energies, the coupling will become weaker and weaker. So this picture maps our current knowledge of QCD solutions. On this axis, baryon chemical potential is plotted. On this axis, the temperature. The early universe is expected to evolve that way to hadronic matter. the collisions start from high temperatures and very low, approximately zero, vary on chemical potentials, and go down to crossover region to back to hadronic matter. And interesting thing to mention are neutron stars. Neutron stars are objects where quark-gluon plasma is also predicted, but this time it's not due to high temperature, but to high baryon chemical potential. Let's look at a typical ion-to-ion collision. First thing, we have two ions traveling at relativistic speeds. They look like pancakes because they are Lorentz contracted. At some point they collide. Here we can see a central collision. In collision, and if the energy of the collision is high enough, we can say that these ions more or less pass through one another. But passing through one another, they lose some energy, which is which is stored in mid-fluidity region. The high energy density contributes to particle creations, and so in the end we have a huge amount of particle-centric antiparticles. And if the energy density is high enough, we can say, and we believe so, that the quark at some stage quark-gluon plasma is created. What happens later to this fireball? It expands. And as it gradually cools down at some stage, the quarks will become confined in hadrons, form hadrons, and then expand as a non-interactive hadron gas. As I mentioned, these are the conditions that could be observed in the universe some microseconds after the Big Bang. So the current state of matter is that the collisions have been carried out for a few years, and the experimentalists are more or less sure that the quark-gluon plasma is created, but it's still the experiment surprises us. So before the experiments were carried out, some QCD lattice calculations were carried out to make predictions how this quark-gluon plasma will behave, and people expected that quark-gluon plasma will behave as ideal gas of quarks and gluons, which would be like known because like this quark-gluon gas was expected to expand freely and as isotropically in all directions. This approximation was made due to assumption of asymptotic freedom at high energies. What was observed, however, that for energies and temperatures just above the transition temperature, it's not a hadronic gas, but the quark-gluon plasma shows some collective motion, which can be proved by observing electrical flow distribution. So when there is a non-central collision, we can the shape of the collision region is not a sphere, but more of an ellipse. And we can see that this ellipse shows behavior shows like two tendencies. One, to expand, just as it does, and the second is to acquire a spherical shape, just as a droplet of water would do in a vacuum. The experimental signature of this electrical flow is a particle per angle distribution, and it was the main reason that it was concluded that quark-gluon plasma behaves like a fluid. What was more surprising? More surprising was measuring the viscosity of this fluid. So in hydrodynamics, we have this theoretical ideal fluid in which entropy is conserved and there is no viscosity. It is very convenient for doing some calculations and modeling because you can use the entropy conservation law to find solution. But in real life, nobody has ever seen an ideal fluid with no viscosity. What is viscosity? Take a shear viscosity. Shear viscosity is a force that if you have like in a flowing fluid, if we have a velocity gradient, and we have like this plane, there will be some force acting on this plane between the neighboring parts of fluid, trying to account for the difference in velocity. So it is similar to friction. And when the viscosity of quark gluon plasma was measured, it was found out that the shear viscosity is very low. In fact, it's one of the lowest ever measured by a human. This led to a question whether there are some lower bounds on shear viscosity or whether we can go as low with viscosity to as close to perfection as we want with different systems. So it's quite complicated, and like with shear viscosity, sometimes our intuition for what is low and what is high shear viscosity are like contradictory with what is it in fact. But first, let's make some estimation of shear viscosity based on transport theory. So if you ask ourselves what is like what is shear viscosity, we can say that it's the ability of fluid to transport transport momentum from one place to another. If like there is a velocity gradient and the shear viscosity is high, the gradient will soon disappear due to the transport of momentum. If the shear viscosity is low, the fluid will have tendency to support very complicated pattern of flowing fluid. You can make an estimation that fluid transports momentum the better the higher energy the higher particle density is, the better the higher average momentum is, and the better the higher mean free path is. And if we take an approximation that entropy is proportional to density, we can find the ratio that interests us, which is shear viscosity divided over entropy. And now we have a product of momentum and length, and now we take Heisenberg principle into work, which gives them some bounds of how small this value can be. And applying this, we get exactly this estimation. However, we can also get some better estimations on this lower bound from ABS safety correspondence, of which I will tell more later, which tells us that the shear viscosity of any system over entropy has to be bigger than h bar over 4 pi Boltzmann constant. It was what was valid until very recently, and it was called KSS band. But recently, there were like more precise calculations carried out in string theory. And it was found out that we should put there some x constant, and it's not obvious that this x constant is equal to 1. It might be, in fact, smaller than 1. So what else? The viscosity theory was found to be exactly the same order of magnitude as this lower, as the chi-S is one for this viscosity. So, knowing that quark-gluon plasma can be modeled with hydrodynamics, it can be, it's a fluid, we wanted to model if its behavior with hydrodynamics. So, firstly, I should like make a quick introduction what are the equations of hydrodynamics. The thing that describes the fluid at a given moment is an energy-momentum tensor. This is the part that with energy. This is the part with pressure and projectile. So this part alone could be used to describe the ideal fluid. But in non-ideal case, even if you have some very low viscosity, we have to add viscous tensor that basically describes all the physics behind sheer viscosity, bulk viscosity, and like and thermal. Yeah. So here. Now is the moment I should like tell you what is bulk viscosity, because as I have already mentioned, shear viscosity is a force that appears due to a velocity gradient, whereas bulk viscosity is the fluid reaction for change in volume. So when somebody tries to like make it smaller or make a given amount of a fluid smaller or bigger than that there will appear some bulk viscosity. Shear viscosity is conformal, and bulk viscosity gives a non-conformal element. That's why you can divide the viscous tensor in two parts. The first one is responsible for shear viscosity. It has zero trace, whereas there is the second one with trace, which is responsible for bulk viscosity. Here are listed like the first and second order terms for which we tried to which we accounted for in our solutions. Here are different coefficients like relaxation times, of course, in first order, shear viscosity and bulk viscosity itself. The law that governs the equations is the conservation of energy momentum tensor, which means that we have to take a derivative of tensor. Taking the derivative of tensor and doing calculating it, here are the equations that we found to govern the evolution of the system. Here is the part that governs the energy density. We can see some. It depends on energy and pressure, but there are some additional terms if the fluid is not ideal, meaning bulk stress and shear stress. Here are the equations that govern the shear and bulk stress. Here is the first order behavior to which it goes, and how fast it goes to this first order behavior is governed by the relaxation times, and further there are some second order further order terms. So having the equation of hydrodynamics, what do we need? So firstly, we need equation of state, which means getting pressure and energy density, independence of temperature. Then we need transport coefficients, shear and bulk viscosity, and also relaxation times. These are the coefficients that we find to be the most important. All these transport coefficients and equations of state will contain the physics of QCD that we want to input in the system, in our hydrodynamical system. how can we get what we want? So first we can make some lattice QCD calculations, which are not always that easy and perturbative. Secondly, we can make some phenomenological guesses based on lattice QCD. And thirdly, we have using holographic principle, we can find dual theories to dual quantum gravity theories to the QCD cousins, and we can make some calculations in this string theory and extract the transport coefficients from this theory to theories to our system. So using holographic principle, we are basing on the n equal 4 in this theory, and in its dual gravity theory. We base our sense on the work of Rajic capacitance entropy for an area, but then we switch to n equal 2 star Enkhmis theory, because we find it gave us better predictions. Anyway, having a hydrodynamic system and making it, we have to input some time, early time when we can begin the hydrodynamics evolution, then we have to find some time when we switch it off, when we find that there is no longer quark-gluon plasma, but there is a hadron gas. It would be like quite useless if you just were finding when to switch it, inputting from experiments when to switch the hydrodynamic description on and when to switch it off again. We couldn't get more. So what we wanted to do was to find whether there is something in the equations itself which tells us when these equations are no longer valid, when there is a phase transition from quark-gluon plasma to hadronic matter. And one path of investigation was trying to find cavitation. What is cavitation? Cavitation occurs is an engineering problem, which is like a very, very, very important for many machines. And the thing behind it is the fact that when the fluid flows faster, its pressure becomes smaller. So at some stage, it might even become so small that it's of the same or smaller than the vapor pressure of the gas, which means that it doesn't matter. It is equally possible for bubbles of gas or bubbles of droplets of fluid to be created in this flow. It is the point when the hydrodynamic description breaks down and it's no longer valid. And we wanted to find it useful that finding whether there occurs a cavitation for hydrodynamic quark-gluon plasma might be useful. We expected that, for example, it may occur at exactly the transition temperature, or which would be connected with the transition from quark-gluon plasma to hadronic, or it could, for example, occur before the transition when there is still some quark-gluon plasma. Then we could think that, for example, these quarks and gluons like divide in cluster, which later hadronize. Anyway, the most important thing when we want to find whether the cavitation occurs is looking at longitudinal pressure in the fluid. So, because usually pressure in fluids is, you can think that this is isotropic, but when there is some shear viscosity, it makes a difference to the direction in which we measure the pressure. And we find that always the lowest pressure is the longitudinal pressure, which is a sum of pressure and shear and bulk stress. You can see that shear stress gives a negative contribution to longitudinal pressure. So if you find the longitudinal pressure to go negative, we are happy because we get cavitation. here is the first model we use. It's Reggio Cabral's entrepreneurs model using four coefficients, QCD, lattice QCD, and all some phenomenological guesses, and an equal four star theory. Here is what is implied for shear viscosity, and here is the phenomenological guess that that is being made on the relaxation time. What was found that it's quite easy to get cavitation. It happens at this moment when the longitudinal pressure goes negative. It happened in most cases varying all the coefficients that appeared in the equation by a slightly or by an order of magnitude. So the conclusion could be that cavitation does indeed occur at some earlier stage before transition temperature. But we decided to change the model because there were some flaws to it. So firstly, N equals star Young-Mills theory is conformal, meaning that there is no bulk viscosity. And probing this equation, we found that it is bulk viscosity that contributes most to cavitation. And the transport coefficient for bulk viscosity were part of the model of an equal four model, but they were taken from outside. There were some guesses on it, and it didn't work. We thought that it might not work with the model. So we took a new model, which was n equal to star, and this time it was conformal, and it's based. Works by Bushel, Alex Bushel, and
you mean non-conformal?
Yeah, I meant non-conformal. And we are happy that it gave us exact values for bulk viscosity and relaxation time. So here is the. The red line is the old values, and the blue ones are the new values. Here, for firstly bulk viscosity and secondly relaxation time. There are few bulk viscosity, few lines, blue line, because we can vary the number of colors we have in the assume in the theory, and we can see that the bulk viscosity in our new model is going to have a bit smaller, but it's still going to have a peak at the transition temperature. Whereas there is a very very substantial difference between old model and new model. The fact that there is in the old model there was no peak of relaxation time and transition temperature, whereas in the new model there is always some. There is always some peak. It's in agreement with what we call a critical slowdown. In fact, when in the vicinity of transition temperature, many physical quantities have a drastic peak. And we also got new equations of state. Here is the comparison between two of them. Sorry. What makes us think that the model can be correct is the plateau we find when we plot energy density divided by T to the 4. Anyway, solving these new equations with new transport coefficient, we found out that longitudinal pressure it does not go negative. It's hard to make it go negative, and with a huge variation for the all different coefficients we have in the equations, including number of colors, relaxation time, and so our calculations seem to contradict what was previously thought, and that meaning that cavitation does not occur in quark gluon plasma. So maybe we have to either find another way that a hydrodynamic description can break down, or to develop our model to at further orders and find that maybe again cavitation occurs. But for the time being, we say that cavitation doesn't occur. Thank you very much. Yeah, the sources of. Maybe there will be a paper. Any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. It's about one of the first slides when you showed the phase diagram of the.
Oh. Sorry.
Of the QCD.
Yes. This one?
Yeah. So I don't understand, how come you have the crossover region? How come you can go without phase transition from the plasma to the gas?
Mm.
This is what the lattice data is predicting, that there's a critical endpoint.
Am I naive or is it interesting?
Because it's really two different phases.
In the crossover, we get onto the crossover region in which the quark gluon plasma behaves like a fluid, and maybe in higher regions it behaves again like a gas. Anyway, this is like, there's not much now about it. There's going to be an energy scan in RIC, which will scan the different chemical potential, and maybe there will be find the exact properties of like this critical point.
There's this conference called Quark Matter Conference, and which is typically an annual phenomenon. And there's always a session devoted to the QCD field diagram, and every year it undergoes a change. So around 5 or 6 years back, the line was a continuous line, and so there was no crossover.
According to this, plasma doesn't have any particular symmetry, right? Because it is like a gas.
If you reduce the temperature, then you should be able to go from at a particular value for a range of chemical potential, you should be able to go from the problem plasma to the hadron gas phase, where one of the thermodynamic variables show a discontinuity.
Can you elaborate on what do you mean when you say a certain component of the viscosity is conformal or not?
The component that is the part of the viscous tensor which is conformal is shear stress, and the part that has some trace in the sensor is the bulk stress.
Basically, the trace of the stress energy tensor should be zero. And if you add a viscous term, so the trace of the stress energy tensor is, roughly speaking, proportional to E minus 3P. If you have a viscous term, then E minus 3P is non-zero. So anything that is associated with the bulk viscosity is non-conformal, necessarily non-conformal because the trace is non-zero.
So I can use like tracelessness and conformality interchangeably.
I mean, loosely speaking, yes, but it's a bit more than that,
So I don't know what I understand. You say that the plasma becomes elliptical after writing just an elliptical shape?
Yeah, it, well, it depends on the impact on the parameter of the collision. So if the collision is central, it is spherical. But if the collision is not central, meaning that one particle goes a bit higher than the other, it is elliptical. And in fact, this is elliptical flow was like the main argument for the fluid behavior. Okay, thank you.